You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, this is Cole Wright from the NFL Network, and you're listening to my man, Jake Brown, on The Jake Brown Show.
It feels like we're playing Crazy Taxi. This is The Jake Brown Show, CBS Radio, radio.com, podcast network. You can subscribe, rate, review on iTunes, and follow us on Spotify as well. A lot to get into. NFL Week 4, Cole Wright from NFL Network and Sirius XM will join us in the second half of the show to go through the NFL Week 5 slate as we're starting to determine who's in, who's out, who sucks, who's good, who's bad, who's mediocre, and who's whatever. We'll get into that with Cole Wright. We'll talk some NFL ourselves as well here in the first half. The MLB playoffs, a couple of series coming to an end. The Dodgers sweep the Diamondbacks. The Astros get by the Red Sox, 3-1. The Yankees force a Game 5. The Cubs and Nats play today in Game 4 as the Cubs look to send the Nats home yet again in the first round. The curse of the Nationals continues as they cannot, no matter how good their team is, can't get past the National League Division Series. As a Mets fan, it's glorious to watch. NBA season starts next week. We'll have a full NBA season preview next week as the season starts Tuesday night. So we'll try and get you a preview on Tuesday during the day and get you ready for the NBA season. The Knicks have not been able to win a preseason game. They've looked ugly. I've had to watch it for work to watch it, essentially, and it is work to watch the Knicks in preseason without a full roster. They have struggled. We'll talk about a little NBA. But first, before we get into everything here, we have to debate it all. And this is the head topic of the week. It has been debate amongst the office here at CBS in the Time Life building between Jets fans, Giants fans. I walked in today with a Jets jersey, an Eric Decker jersey, Jets jersey, decked out, pun intended. And the debate continues to be, are the New York Jets and the New York Giants rivals? And we got Pat in and Eddie behind the boards. He's a Jets fan. The answer to that is no, and here's why. And Pat will give his angle why, and we might go at it a little bit. Because first off, the Jets and Giants play once every 4 years in the regular season. They have one time every 4 years that a game matters. Every year they play in the preseason, that game means as much as Jorge Valandia's batting average in the 2000 Mets season. It's irrelevant. They play once every 4 years a game that matters. The Jets and Giants have never faced off in a championship game, in a Super Bowl. Remember, one's in the AFC, one's in the NFC, so it is possible, but both have never been good enough in the same year to face each other in a Super Bowl. And until that day happens, until the Jets and Giants play either every season in a meaningful game or they play in a Super Bowl, it will not be a rivalry. Therefore, the haters that will say I cannot be a Jets and a Giants fan will always be wrong. I have liked the Giants first. Someone ruined my life and got me into the Jets and Mets. I liked the Yankees and Giants before I became a Mets and a Jets fan. And as Greg Larner chimes in, says preseason rivals. Exactly. They're rivals in a meaningless preseason. I've always thought the preseason was too long. It's meaningless. It is important for guys who are trying to make rosters. But overall, as a fan, to me, it's not worth watching. They won't be rivals until they have a series named after them. The reason the Mets and Yankees are rivals, Pat, and to everyone, is they play once every year, 4 to 6 times a year. They have a name for it. It's called the Subway Series. A lot of times, it's the only series now that sells out. It sells out for the Mets, at least. Not for the Yankees. There's sometimes some seats left for the Yankees. But it's always a packed house. obviously it's lost its luster over the years, because when both teams aren't great, it loses luster. They play every year, and they played in a championship. They played in a World Series that broke my heart when the Yankees beat the Mets when I was nine. And that is a big reason. I would never like the Yankees. I am not Mets fan for Yankees. No. That is not a thing, because they're rivals, and they always will be rivals. I know they're in different conferences, but they still play each other 4 to 6 times a year. By the way, should be 6 every year. Enough of this 4 garbage of Monday through Thursday, which is an absolute trash, and it seems like a reason just to sell a Monday through Thursday game that normally wouldn't sell out. Should be 2-weekend series. The Jets and Giants are not rivals. Are the Islanders and Rangers rivals? Yes, they play every year. They're in the same division. They've played each other in meaningful games, including the playoffs. Am I correct? The Islanders have faced the Rangers in the playoffs. Rivals. Knicks and Nets, by the way, also a team I'm a fan of both of, also not rivals. This one, some would disagree with, because they are in the same division, they play multiple times a year, and they are in the same city. You can argue that. But the Nets, and you know, Pat, have always been the little brother who have never been truly relevant. Listen, the Knicks have stunk too. But the Nets have always been like, oh, we're playing the Nets, who cares? I also don't rule that as a rivalry, because the Nets are the Nets, and they were a New Jersey team that moved here. I just don't consider that a rivalry, because the Nets are the Nets and never been that team that's always in the headlines. Mets-Yankees are. Jets-Giants aren't. Knicks-Nets are. Knicks and Nets, you can debate me more. Jets and Giants, I just don't see it. Same stadium, I understand as well. I didn't throw that in there. Same stadium, sure. But because they share a locker room with you, that makes you rivals? What's your side, Pat?
All right, well, there's a couple things here before I give you my side. The Knicks and the Nets have played in the playoffs.
You're right.
Right, they won't play in a championship game just because of the way it's set up, but they have played in the playoffs.
Here's the thing, Knicks Nets, in terms of, I think it's now frowned upon that I root for both, just because the Nets have always been like the little brother. While that could be a rivalry, I don't think it's bad that someone's Knicks for Nets. Like, if the Knicks miss the playoffs and you root for the Nets, I don't think that's a bad thing. I do think it's bad if you're a Mets fan that'll root for the Yankees, and I don't think it's bad if the Jets suck and you root for the Giants. If the Giants suck, you root for the Jets.
One more thing, too. Were the Mets and Yankees not rivals before 2000?
They were. That first Subway Series.
Okay, and then you mentioned the Subway Series, and they scheduled that every year.
They weren't as big of a rival as when that World Series happened.
It's almost like the chicken or the egg, because they had to schedule it because there was something there. So there was something there. So they scheduled the Subway Series. Because I think, like, you mentioned the Jets and the Giants. Let's stick with the Jets and the Giants. I think there's different types of rivals. Like, the Yankees' main rival will always be
the Red Sox.
And the Jets' main rival, I mean, it could be the Dolphins. It could be New England. The division rival will always be your main rival. Like, the Giants probably would hate the Eagles and the Cowboys. But I think there's different.
Division always comes first. The
division always comes first, but I think there's different types of rival.
And I also think there's a little jealousy between Yankees and Mets, because we have been the little brother to the Yankees, considering they've won 27, we won 2. So there's that little brother aspect there as well. There's a lot of little brother aspect. But Nets little brother, Mets little brother, Jets little brother.
I think the Jets and the Giants are a rival. They're not a division rival. They're more like a cross-town rival, because the teams are competing for the same fans. So you're either going to be a Jet fan or a Giant fan if you live in this area, and you live in the New York area. And then it's like, odds are your friend or a couple of may root for the other team. So then you're like, you want your team to be good. You want your team to be better, to have that rivalry amongst your peers.
I've just always liked both, and people will disrespect the fact I am just not biased one toward the other. And I understand that it's rare, and I understand, oh, you can't like them both. If one does bad, oh, look, the Giants are bad. Now you're putting your Jets gear back on. I don't think it's ever been a case of that frontrunner, because they're both never that good. Sure, the Giants have won 2 titles. If I didn't root for the Giants, I would not have seen one title in my lifetime. Born in 91. If I was just a Jets fan, I would have zero championships to bell. Maybe the Maryland Terrapins. That's about it. And that doesn't even really count because I wasn't really a big Terps fan when they won it. So, not that that's part of my argument, but I just don't see the luster of liking both in that sense because they don't play each other. I think Mets and Yankees, you just can't like both. And the Yankees will always say, "Hey, I'll root for the Mets, whatever," because we're the baby. It's like you feel bad for us.
I understand that because you're right. You could like a team that you don't play because it's like they don't play. So it's not like I have to choose between the two. I guess I could see that. Just like I know older baseball fans who have Met fans who may have a favorite AL team because before interleague play,
like I root for the Red Sox.
Right. So I guess I could see that, but I just think because of where they play and they play in the same stadium, which you say shouldn't count. I think it does count because that's the team most people are either going to like one or the other. And if you choose one, you're going to hate the other.
I just think if you're in my age range, or it doesn't even matter, when a team breaks your heart in a championship in the 2000 World Series, the first full season, I was 9 years old that I was a Mets fan. When they break your heart like that, and win in a Subway Series World Series. The Giants and Jets have the stupid Snoopy Bowl. Yeah. That doesn't count as anything.
No, right.
The Mets and Yankees have a sold-out series in both stadiums every year named the Subway Series. The Knicks and Nets, they don't have a name for when they play each other.
But I think
there's just another game.
The reason there is a Subway Series is because there was a rivalry. Right. I mean,
there's never been a Jets Giants rivalry besides the fact they're in the same stadium. They've been in the same stadium since the 80s. And they've played like a total of five times and I think games that counted.
Like even now, like we'll take this season for an example. I know they're not playing each other, but I had many Giant fans. And even I know I wasn't very, I didn't think this year was going to be any good as a Jet fan, but I had many Giant fans even in the preseason starting to bust on me how sucky the Jets were going to be. And I was like, well, I kind of expect that. We're going to suck for Sam. And,
it's the other way around.
Now it's the other way around. And now it's like I almost, because you, speaking to those Giant fans, now it's almost like taking joy out of your team sucking and my team being in first place. And I think elements like that make it a rival in a sense.
I've always been in the game of, They're not friends, but they're not rivals. They're just
so they're
when
somewhere
you play
in the middle.
Five times in 20 years, there's no rivalry built up. There's nothing. There's not those moments. There's not those games. There's not the Matt Franco base hit. There's not the David Wright walk off against Mariano. There's not the Timo Perez stupid base run. There's not those moments built up to create a rivalry. The Jets and Giants, the only thing I can remember from their games is the Victor Cruz, whatever, 80-yard touchdown or whatever that may be. And that's not even a moment in like a week three game. There aren't those. Rivalries are created by special moments, by a hit, by a touchdown that really just makes you hate that other team. That team just continues to beat you or it's even or whatever it may be. Jets Giants hasn't had that besides Snoopy Bowls in games that don't count. So how do games don't count and just the fact that they're saving money playing in one stadium versus two because of the fact that you can't really have a stadium in the city. They tried it with the Westside Stadium. They tried to say, hey, Jets, we'll give you your own stadium. That didn't work out. They've thought about it in Queens. Hasn't worked out. They've thought about Long Island. Hasn't worked out. And while I do think each should have their own stadium, financially it's probably just never going to work. Locationally it's never going to work. And I don't think the fact that they're in the same stadium just says, oh, they're a rival in the same stadium.
I just think it's a rivalry amongst fans.
Do you agree,
fans.
Though?
It's a rivalry
yes.
amongst,
okay.
amongst fans.
But
I don't think it's like that. It's not like the Lakers Celtics of the 80s.
Do you agree that that moment. I'm talking about moments make rivalries. And I think we've had that with Mets, Yankees. Knicks, Nets. Well, you had the playoff series, but it was a sweep. Was that a moment? There's not that thing that really makes you hate the other team like with Mets, Yankees. Mets Yankees has had some classic games over the years and a World Series that while it was 4-1, all those games were close and some classic games there. There have been so many epic moments between those two teams that haven't been seen in Knicks Nets as much and hasn't been seen at all in Jets Giants. And you see it in Islanders Rangers because it happens every year.
I mean, I guess what the Jets and the Giants had one moment.
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe if you want to count that.
Well, I was count. I mean, didn't they have that moment? Was I think it might have been the late 80s, early 90s. And they played the last year, the last week of the season.
You're the old one.
And
yeah,
the Jets had a win. The Jets had a win to make the playoffs. I guess I have to look that up. But I think they had something like that a while ago. Like
it's a never-ending debate. And I think what the side is that you look at it at the fan side as – I have to argue with this fan, like, you can't, you, when you're, the fans, it's Jets or Giants, not, I'm Jets and Giants, then there's no argument. For me, it's also been, like, since I've started doing this, I'm trying to not be, what's the word for
you're trying
it?
to be objective.
Objective, yeah.
Right.
Sorry. But yeah, so,
right.
That's part of it, but I've just, I don't know, I started with the Giants, I had a Tiki Barber Super Bowl jersey, that year they made the Super Bowl, I loved them. And then a year or two later, a friend of mine, I think, got me into the Jets. And I said, oh, I like them too. And I'm just a rare case where I like both. I'm not going to leave one behind just because since I've been a kid, I've always liked both. So I'm not going to say when they play each other, I root for the Jets. I've always said Jets first. But when I come in wearing Jets gear, it's like, oh, now you're the Jets. Just because I talked shit about them with the fact that they would suck. Listen, they're 3-2, but they've beaten three bad teams. They're probably still going to go 4-12. So it's been great and all. And I'll wear my Jets. If the Giants win 11 in a row, you'll be like, oh, you're wearing a Giants hat now.
It's funny because the three guys who were busting on you for wearing the Jet gear all said the Jets were going to go 3-13. But I think it's the thing. It's like we all expect it to be bad. And now, I mean, this far into the season, the overall record could still be bad. But right now, we're not bad. We're 3, you know, and
you know
the
what?
Giants
it's...
are. So it's kind of like you take joy. You're like, hey, we're the best team in New York.
Listen, it's great to watch and all. But what the Jets are going to realize is that, one, they don't have a franchise quarterback. Two, while Rosen and Darnold might not be the guy, it's better than what they got. And three, boy, did they screw up when they did not pick up Deshaun Watson. When all teams didn't pick Deshaun Watson, and I tweeted, I might get a Deshaun Watson jersey just because I love the guy. I don't care about the Texans. But the fact that teams, not that he passed, not many teams passed. I mean, he was still the first round, 12th pick. This guy is a winner, a champion. And honestly, you put him on the Jets now, and not saying they have the talent around him to be that good, but Deshaun Watson is an absolute stud. And you wouldn't have to even utter the word tanking if they had picked Watson instead of trading up and wasting a pick on Hackenberg, who is an absolute hack, for picking Bryce Petty thinking he was the guy, for Geno Smith thinking that he was the guy back in the day. They messed up not picking Watson, and they're forced in a tough position where now if they do win and miss out on Rosen and Darnold, it's like, do we pick Allen, the third quarterback, or do we go and try to get a free agent quarterback? What do we do here if we win too many games and miss out on those
but
guys?
But look how many first rounds picks that were quarterbacks who were supposed to be the next best thing. Johnny Manziel, who turned into be you know, big bust.
Of course, we have that all the time.
You know, you have so many. So even though Donald and
Watson should have been picked.
You know, who's? But I mean, you even look at guys like, you know, Aaron Rodgers. People passed on him. Tom Brady had a
waiver. Everyone gets passed on. I understand. I'm talking about now, though.
Right. No, but look at Brady Quinn was supposed to be the guy.
And for fools to tell me, we got safety Jamal Adams. He's great and all. He's a freaking safety.
Right, but nothing against these two college kids.
I don't care if he's good.
You still don't know. I mean, the fact that they're good, I think we should embrace. And maybe if you don't get one of them, you get a free agent. You try to maybe you get one of these free agents.
The Jets are just
because
poor
still
in the draft.
Well, yeah,
they should have picked Watson.
The Jets
and it's going to backfire them. So if they win six games, guess what? You're not getting your franchise quarterback. They're going to pick a quarterback, but at this point, listen, I don't think Rosen's going to be great. I do think Darnold's going to be good. And I don't know enough about Allen. I haven't seen him. So I can't answer that. But
the Jets
missed out on their franchise
quarterback.
Do
one of them fall? I mean, the Jets say they're not going to make the
playoffs.
Listen,
the Browns
so
right
they...
now are probably going to be the number one pick. The Jets are not. The Colts have a chance to be a top five pick. The Jets aren't going to go 7-9, 8-8. The best the Jets will go here is 6-10, and even that I think is optimistic.
Are the Browns going to pick another quarterback? Are the Colts going to pick a quarterback? I mean,
they might have to think about it considering DeSean Kizer got benched for Hogan.
Right. I mean, are the Colts going to pick one?
Hogan's heroes. The Colts won't pick one because Andrew Luck's the guy.
Oh, that's right. And they have Andrew Luck. And they just traded for, what's his name, too?
So maybe he still does fall in their lap.
So they get one of them.
But there's other bad teams out there, a la New York Giants, who might be looking for a quarterback soon. Imagine that. The Giants take Sam Darnold away from the Jets. And I think the Jets are going to trade up no matter what if they don't get in that spot and there's a threat that they don't get one of those guys. They're probably going to trade up. And I'm not in the business of tanking. You know what? I'm not one of those people who's like, God damn it, why are they winning right now? No. You win. It's great to see. You don't really root for a team to lose.
The players aren't going to tank.
No, you can't.
And I don't think it's a big deal. And just because we mentioned the Jets draft history, whichever they're going to get, they're going to trade up, and they're going to get the third quarterback picked, and that's going to be, or maybe the second.
They're going to screw it up.
They're
going
to pick the wrong one.
It's typical you know Jets. They're going to screw it up. This is the Jake Brown Show, CBS Radio's Radio.com Podcast Network, iTunes, and Spotify. Talking Jets, Giants. It's a never-ending debate. I just don't think it's a rivalry because they don't play each other, and they've never played each other in a meaningful game. And until that happens, I don't see it changing. But it's just that's how I was growing up, 9, 10 years old. The Giants, someone got me in the Jets. I like the Yankees in 98, 99, someone got me into the Mets, and I said bye to the Yankees. I liked the Knicks first. The Nets got Kidd, and I loved Kidd. I got a ticket pack that year. I started to root for the Nets. The Knicks were lousy. It's not even being a fronter because they both always stink. It's not like I'm like a Spurs and Heat. Like, I'm not like a Spurs, Heat, Lakers, Yankee fan. Like, the other team I root for is local. I root for it because it's home. I'm a New Yorker. I root for the other team that's in town. It's not like I'm picking a winner. I'm still picking a loser. It's just the other loser. Oh, man. And the one that's winning in New York that I don't root for right now is the New York Yankees forcing a game 5. And good Lord have mercy. I've had enough of people tweeting me, get over it, get over it. I am not a Yankees fan. I could care less if they win or lose. I want them to lose. But this guy can't possibly tell me that the other two games would have played out the same way. Move on. I've moved on. I don't root for them. Listen, I guess people who don't follow me or know who I am don't know if I like the Mets or Yankees. Okay, I understand that. But I don't root for the Yankees. Leave me alone. Like, I've moved on. I'm living fine. I don't care. So that would bother me. But you could say move on all you want. But if Joe Girardi challenges that play, it's a strikeout, the score is 8-3, there's no grand slam, and the Indians would have to score 5 runs in 2 innings. Or 3 innings. What happened in the 6th or 7th, I don't remember. But they would need 5 runs in the final 2. The Yankees win that game, up 8-3. I mean, you have to factor in that the Indians only scored 1 run after that before the extra innings, and they won in extra innings. Does it mean they win the series? Not necessarily. But it means... It means the series could be over indeed. And I know you manage things differently and a series extends and things happen. But still, it's an inexcusable mistake by Joe Girardi. And if they do lose game 5 tomorrow, all bets should be on Joe Girardi getting fired. And I think Yankee fans have had enough with him. I think our Mets fans thing is, we'll take Joe Girardi. We'll take him. He's better than Terry Collins. Stevie Wonder's better than Terry Collins. Everyone's better than Terry Collins. And we understand that. But I think Joe Girardi's time will be up if they don't win. And guess what? Girardi, for the naysayers of Girardi, Yankee fans, I'll say this. Nobody expected the Yankees to get this far and win like this year. This is shocking, the fact that they've taken one of the best teams in baseball, the defending AL champions, to a game 5. And they'll throw CeCe Sabathia out for maybe his swan song if they do lose, as he probably, you figure, won't be back. But, man, I don't know. We'll see what Girardi's future is, but it seems like Yankee fans want him gone. And my argument is, would a better manager have got you further than you did? You already exceeded expectations by a mile Nobody thought this was a playoff team. They make the playoffs, and their Girardi challenge potentially be from the ALCS, and now they're a game from being the ALCS. They're still alive. They fought back. Win or loss, it's been a great season for the Yankees. And if they win this thing, Yankees-Astros, watch out. Indians-Astros, I think, is the better team, better series. But with the momentum the Yankees will have, if they do come back and win from 2-0, which you could count on two hands how many teams have done it, they'll have a ton of momentum, and that Yankees-Astros series could be a dandy as well. But I'll say this. Don't just root Joe Girardi away, because he's won a World Series with you. He's exceeded expectations at times. But I will say that blunder, if they don't win, it would not shock me to see if they move on from him. That is as bad of a blunder. On top of pulling a Terry Collins, taking the starter out early, and pulling CeCe Sabathia way too early in that game. Maybe it helps. Maybe he's rested for Game 5. But CeCe should have been in. The challenge should have been made. And Game 2 should have been won. And we could be talking about a different story. But enough of Yankee fans tweeting me, not realizing that I'm a Mets fan, thinking that I care, that I haven't moved on. I'm living just fine, thank you. The Red Sox, poor managerial moves by them. John Farrell, who's probably out the door, and Red Sox fans hate him, gets ejected. And the backups make a mistake for them. How do you leave Chris Sale in the game in the eighth inning when you have Reed fresh, you have Kimbrel fresh, you can use Kimbrel for two, you can use Reed, then Kimbrel. Kimbrel ends up kind of blowing it there in the eighth. Sale got the loss. The Red Sox had an inside the Parker in the ninth to make it a one-run game, but they lose. And how do you not start the inning with Kimbrel or Reed? Sale did what he could. He gave you those four innings. Take him out. Have him fresh in case maybe you need him for a relief appearance for a Game 5. But now there won't be a Game 5. Just piss poor managing by the Red Sox there. And some knucklehead tweeted me, you're always questioning the manager. Managers are costing them games in big spots like this. Yes, I rip Terry Collins all the time because that's the team I watch every day in and day out. But when the guy in charge is really costing you games like this, there's no reason you shouldn't be pinpointing it. These guys get paid to do one thing, and it's manage games. And when you can't manage the games, what are you getting paid for? To write a lineup? Helen Keller could write the damn lineup. A blind and deaf person could write names in a lineup and make it work. But the moves during the game are what they're getting paid seven figures for. So when someone doesn't do it, I'm going to rip it apart. And if you think I'm wrong for that, you need to realize you have no idea what you're talking about. Because a guy can't do their job, they're going to get ripped apart. The players are going to get ripped apart when they don't do it. But when there's a mistake made, when you watching from a mile away could see what they're doing wrong, when you watching on TV could realize it, oh, the in-game pressure. I'm not getting paid seven figures. It's easy moves that need to be made. And that was a bad one. Not as bad as the Girardi, obviously. I mean, not challenging it late in the game when you got two challenges left is almost, it's like Joe Girardi was tied to an electric chair and they wouldn't let him go. That's that kind of move. The Red Sox move wasn't as bad because Sale is your ace. But still, you get Reed, you trade for Reed, you have Kimbrel who's just had an amazing year ready to go, and you have a guy who's thrown 70 pitches at thrown out there for another inning. When you got the lead. And he blew it. So that's what happens when you have bad managerial moves. On the other side, Nationals, similar situation. How do you pull Max Scherzer? The guy who was throwing a no-hitter gives up one hit, and you say, let's go to our bullpen. The same bullpen that's lost us games all season. Sure, they got better with moves getting Kinsler, getting Doolittle. But how are you going to pull a Cy Young candidate and Max Scherzer after throwing a no-hitter for giving up one hit? And I'm so happy they lost because Dusty Baker is a fool for that. He was at around 95 to 100 pitches. Let Scherzer go through seven at least, probably even an eight. That was an embarrassing decision. And who did they go with? They went with a guy, who walked the guy or left the guy on base. Solas or some lefty who I've never heard of. That is a situation where you have to leave your ace in the game. And it come back and bit him right in the arse. And the Cubs are up 2-1. And the Nationals' curse continues. And as a Mets fan, you can't be any happier to see them lose. The ideal situation, see them lose a series, see the Yankees lose a series. But I said this to Pat. It's more the Yankee fans as a Mets fan that bother me right now this season. This is not a hateable Yankees team. Aaron Judge, he's great. Some of these guys, Severino, they're having some youth win. Gary Sanchez. It's not the normal, I bought my championship Yankee team. While you have those pieces in there, you have a lot of guys who are not in that mindset. Not in that way. And I don't think the team is hateable, but the fans, man, are the worst. And some of the gawkity owns in the ballpark. I mean, Joey from Staten Island. Some of these guys they showed on the screen. And thank you, Aaron Judge, for not robbing the home run, for robbing freaking Zach Hample from catching that ball. That guy is the worst. He's got 10 billion baseballs in his house. Wrote a book about it. I read it when I was younger. But this guy seems like the biggest douche on the planet. Of course, he's there with his MLB.com shirt and MLB hat, ready to catch that potential home run. And thank you, Aaron Judge, for not robbing the homer, for robbing Zach Hample. That kid is always in a spot where the home run is, and it's so annoying, and he steals it from kids. He's got so many balls at home. You think he pleasures himself with baseballs. It's so pathetic. And thank you, Aaron Judge, for robbing that. That was probably my favorite moment of the playoffs. The Dodgers swept the Diamondbacks. They'll face the winner of Cubs-Nats. Hopefully we get Dodgers-Cubs. Should be a heck of a series. Right now the Dodgers are rolling. When Yu Darvish is your Game 3 starter, the Cubs or Nationals, whoever they play, are in trouble. But Yankees-Indians, we got some magic. Game 5. NBA next week. Joel Embiid, a couple of minutes left, got a monster deal. And didn't deserve it. Deserves it for his tweets, not for his play. He's got to play and he's got to stay healthy. But Joel Embiid got $30 million a year and hasn't even played the whole season. He has barely played 30 games. $1 million a game, Joel. We'll give it to you. Remember, not all guaranteed, which was the other part of that deal. So I'll preview the NBA next week. The Knicks have looked bad, but they also haven't been healthy. We'll see how they look when healthy. They'll open the season against the Thunder next Thursday, and Carmelo Anthony, only fitting. Adrian Peterson to the Cardinals, like the move for the Cardinals. They needed a kind of power back to go with Chris Johnson and to go with all those other guys that they throw out there, Andre Ellington. So I think he'll get more carries in Arizona.
Chris Johnson was released
during
that trade.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was that just happened right now?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Chris Johnson is gone. So that means AP's got the workload there. You think AP and Andre Ellington, maybe they bring Johnson back. That's interesting they would cut him because he wasn't playing that bad. But now AP gets his chance. He'll get his 15 carries a game, you think. And I'll have more of that in the sports update coming up. Coming up next is my sports update, followed by Cole Wright, NFL Network analyst, host, I should say, Sirius XM host. You can follow him on Twitter at Cole Wright NFL. We'll go around the NFL with Cole Wright and all the games that happened. The Giants losing Beckham, Harris, Marshall, all for the season, and are left with just Sterling Shepard as their 0-5 season only gets worse. That was the icing on the cake, not just the loss. The injury summed up the fact that the Giants have a 0% chance now of making the playoffs and are going to be a top 10 pick, and we'll see how they fare, but it's ugly. I still think the Jets and Giants could have similar records. Maybe the Giants even better still, but the Jets are 3-2. The Giants are 0-5. The Jets and Patriots have a first-place matchup at MetLife, where I do think the Jets will get pummeled, honestly. I just think they're due for a blowout loss. But the Patriots' defense has been bad. We'll see if Josh McCown could take advantage of it. We'll go around the NFL next with Cole Wright after this sports update. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Jake Brown Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Jake Brown Radio, at Jake Brown Show on Facebook and Instagram. The same. Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, radio.com. Enjoy the rest of the show. I'm out. Peace.
Sports Flash.
Starting with some NFL news, Adrian Peterson is on the move. The Saints traded a 32-year-old running back to the Cardinals in exchange for a conditional draft pick. Peterson rushed for just 81 yards and no touchdowns in four games with the Saints in a crowded backfield. In some off-the-field news, Josh Gordon is eyeing an NFL return. An uninterrupted documentary was released today with Gordon coming clean about his drug use and rehab. He also revealed how Baylor coaches helped him pass drug tests. The wide receiver has not played in the NFL since 2014. Shifting to October baseball. It's been good. The Dodgers completed a sweep in Arizona last night, beating the Diamondbacks 3-1 behind five strong innings from Yu Darvish of two-hit ball. The Dodgers will now await the winner of the Cubs National Series. And speaking of that series, the Cubs took a 2-1 series lead with a 2-1 win yesterday in Chicago. They look to close the series out today as they send Jake Arrieta to the mound to take on Tanner Roark. That game begins at 5:38 p.m. In the American League, the Astros finished off the Red Sox at Fenway Park yesterday with a 5-4 win. Justin Verlander got the victory in his first relief appearance. They will now await the winner of the Yankees-Indians series. And that series just got interesting. The Yankees forced a Game 5 last night, beating the Indians 7-3. Luis Severino picked up his first playoff win, throwing seven solid innings, giving up three runs and striking out nine. Game 5 will be tomorrow night in Cleveland at 8 o'clock as CeCe Sabathia takes on Cy Young candidate Corey Kluber. And finally in the NBA, fresh off signing his five-year, $148 million extension, Joel Embiid will make his preseason debut tomorrow for the Sixers against the Nets. His teammate Markel Fultz is doubtful with right knee soreness. Trust the process, folks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back on the Jake Brown Show, CBS Radio's Radio.com, Podcast Network, iTunes, and Spotify. For around the NFL, usually you have me do it solo this week, but I had to bring on... I had to do it the right way this week in this cold world that we live in, and do it with Cole Wright from the NFL Network and Sirius XM, host of The Final Drive. You can follow him on Twitter at Cole Wright NFL. Cole, what's going on, man? How's the West Coast treating you?
The West Coast, man. It's 70 degrees and sunny. You know, I can't complain. There's one cloud in the sky. I don't know. That's not a cloud. That's the sun shining off of a plane. So yeah, everything's pretty good right now. Everything's pretty good out here on the West Coast.
Well, it's 80 here. Is it really 7? It's hotter in New York than it is on the West Coast?
Well, it probably is, but you know, we're all about those mild and nice, comfortable temperatures. 72 okay. And sunny. That's all we do here in the beach cities in Los Angeles. All right. So it's always 70. Everyone always asks me from back in Chicago, like, what's it like there today? 72 and sunny almost every day of the week.
As long as you're not sipping your overpriced coffee with your pinky out, Hollywood style, then we're good.
No, I just drink regular coffee with my pinky out.
Oh, man, and if you're in New York, the New York Jets with a win, and the Jets have contributed 3 weeks of $1 Dunkin' Donuts coffees, and the Giants have contributed zero. So thank you to the Jets for... kind of giving us some discounts on the coffee. I'm a Team Duncan guy. We're going to start with the New York Jets here as we go around the NFL. And Cole, the Jets, while three wins have been against the Jaguars, and it was ugly, against the Dolphins, who were playing just pathetic offensive football, and they have all year, and against the Browns this week, 3-2 is 3-2. Pretty surprising that Tank City has become a first-place team against the first-place Patriots this week.
Well, you know, how unpatriotic is it of the Giants to not donate to that coffee fund? Because we all know that America runs on Dunkin', right?
That's true.
Mean, the Giants, they got to be better about that. But, yeah, it's crazy. You know, you said that the Jets 3-2. I mean, who would have thought before the season everyone had a clean slate? You know, it's just 0-0, and if someone would have said 5 weeks in, the New York Jets would be in first place, and the Giants would be in the cellar. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, Jake, but, I picked the Giants to – have some success this year. I mean, you look at their receiving core. I mean, I know they didn't have too much of a run game entering the year, but I mean, for them to fall off a cliff like that, I mean, and then to see what happened to all the receivers last game. I mean, I have Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, and Evan Ingram on a collection of teams. I think I have two on one team. And it's like, oh, don't worry. That guy goes down to other ones. If there's a famine for one, there's going to be a feast for another. And it's like the covers were bare for everybody on Sunday.
And don't forget about my guy, Dwayne Harris. The dreaded one is also out for the year. And the Giants and you're talking to a guy who picked the Giants to win the Super Bowl. So you're talking about winning. I had them against the Patriots in a rematch. I really thought on paper they were stacked. They had the defense. They had the receivers. Now they have no receivers. And not much of a running game. Wayne Gallman has been okay, but the Giants are just in disarray. And how about this? I mean, the Jets, everyone talking about going for Darnold or Rosen. Now the Giants might be in the discussion for a top 3 to 5 pick, while the Jets maybe slip closer to the top 10 the way they're playing right now. In my opinion, I just don't see it materializing, Cole. I don't see the Jets winning 7-8 games. I still think they're a 4-12 or 5-11 team.
Yeah, I mean, but they have right now. They have building blocks. Like I said, you know, it's not how you start; it's how you finish. But at least right now, they can hang their hat on the fact that they've gotten off to a somewhat hot start. I mean, a lot of teams right now would love to be 3-3, and a lot of teams right now aren't 3-2. So that's just the complexion of the league right now. And if you're the Jets, you know, you can't look a gift horse in the mouth. It doesn't matter who you've beaten. I mean, you said you beat Jacksonville, which is true, but Jacksonville's a good team. We know that now. We know that 5 weeks in, you know, we know that Jacksonville is a quality team. They have a defense. You know, do they have to sometimes hide Blake Bortles and his inefficiencies? Yeah. I mean, what, do they only have one passing attempt in the second half last week?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I mean, I think it's a matter of the Jets just going out there and not doing too much, just taking what comes to them. If you want to get those wins against inferior teams, then go ahead and get them. They all look the same in the book.
And speaking of the Jaguars, Cole, I mean, 30-9. Big Ben says, who knows if he has it anymore. He throws 5 picks. Are you concerned with the Steelers here after that embarrassing showing on Sunday?
Not really. I mean, if I was a Steelers fan, would I be concerned? Absolutely. But when you take a look around the division, it's not like anyone right now is just running away and putting their fingerprints all over it. You know, I don't think Big Ben was there was zero seriousness in any of his answers, because at least in my estimation, I think that he was like, okay, you know what? I had a terrible game. Were some of those picks? Absolutely. Were all of them picks? Without a doubt. But were some of them avoidable? A lot of them were tips. It's not like he was just throwing balls to the opposing defense, you know, outright. I mean, they were tips. They were going the wrong bounces. I think he wanted to get that press conference over and done with and move on next week. And that's what we saw. Like, if you looked, it was very Belichickian. Every single answer that he gave was 6 seconds or less. So I think he's like, man, you know what? This game is garbage. So let me put it in the rear view. Let's get out of here. The quicker I can get this press conference done with, we're out and we're on to next week.
Are the Jaguars at 3-2? Do you look at them as a chance to win this AFC South? We know the AFC South is up for grabs, but can Blake Bortles survive this whole season? In my opinion, the Jaguars should have by now traded for a quarterback or given up on Bortles. He's still there. They have a winning record. But what's next for this team? Are they a contender?
Well, I mean, they're contending right now. I mean, they're the best team in their division. I mean, I don't think that they are, but once the season shakes out, I think this is going to be Houston's again. We've seen Houston play at a high level, and every week Deshaun Watson just gets better and better and better. But I just think, you know, you run into the Patriots and then you run into the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, it's not the easiest task at hand, but, you know, I think that like I said, the Jags are the best team in the division. We can't take that away from them. So if the season were to end today, they would be the representative of the AFC South. And, I mean, the Colts, they're not going anywhere, you know. So I think I really believe that this is going to be that. Yeah, and the Titans, I mean, how disappointing have the Titans been so far this season? You know, I mean, and a lot of that stems from not having Marcus Mariota. I mean, clearly he's a straw that stirs their drink. But if, I don't know, Matt Castle, you know, he's a serviceable fill-in. But if you want to win a division, you don't want a fill-in quarterback. You want your guy.
Yeah. And I mean, again, you could argue the whole Kaepernick thing and how much better that he is than Castle and a lot of these backups. And the Dolphins beat the Titans. The Dolphins are weird, man, because they look so bad offensively. Jay Cutler looks like he's still nude on a beach somewhere taking pictures. I mean,
so just disinterested.
Yeah, I mean, he just doesn't look like he wants to be out there. He's just collecting this $10 million and calling it a day and bringing it home to his beautiful wife. But can the Dolphins now 2-2? They've shown something, at least defensively. People thought this was a 10-win team. Is this anywhere near a 10-win team?
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. I don't know who thought that. I mean, the same people who thought that probably are the same ones who think that Tampa Bay is a playoff team and they were going to quell that 9-year drought. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm seeing the same things out of both of those squads. I mean, the Dolphins last year, I think that maybe was a fluke. Maybe Ryan Tannehill's better than we thought, because I didn't think Ryan Tannehill was all that great. I mean, I covered him in high school when he was a quarterback, and I didn't really think a whole bunch of them. I thought of all the quarterbacks I covered when they were high school players. I thought, Colt McCoy was the cream of that crop. Even Ryan Mallett. I just never really saw that out of Tannehill. But like I said, maybe he was better than we thought he was, at least in Adam Gase's offense. Because Jay Cutler right now, like I said, looked disinterested. He's not the leader that team needs. I mean, we saw him in the Wildcat, hands on his hips on the sidelines. So, I mean, I don't know. It's this Miami team, they just looked like a squad in disarray. I mean, clearly we know what went on with their offensive line coach. I mean, he resigned, due to the video that was released of him. So, I mean, they have a bunch of issues to address that I think, winning their next game is high on the list, but it's, I don't know, is it the highest?
Yeah, we learned that Chris Forster was indeed in love with the Coco.
Wow, was he ever. What a nut. Like, I don't want to drag anybody through the mud after they've had a hard time, but, I mean, what grown man says, like, hey, I got a great idea. I'm going to videotape myself doing this.
To a stripper.
And send it to someone who gets paid monetary sums to this rope.
It makes more sense for him to send it to his mother than send it to a stripper, because that stripper's going to release the video, all the attention she got out of it. And maybe she got, like, clients out of it. Who knows? I don't want to go there. But, I mean, she made out monetarily well out of releasing that video. Just a terrible decision, and
especially when you think about the fact that he got his pay raise bumped when he was, there was talk, speculation that he was going to go to the Rams. They blocked him and they gave him a raise. Mm-hmm. He was that important. He's been a coach for 35 years, in the National Football League, or at least since the early 90s. He had 35 years of coaching experience, but clearly he didn't have 35 years of experience of not what to do. because that was. Not what to do.
Well, that's crazy. When he's 35 years of experience, was he doing that before every meeting? Because maybe cocaine must be a hell of a drug if he's getting.
Rick James told us, man. I mean, you saw him grinding his feet in Eddie Murphy's couch. I mean, it caught his legs a beat down. But hey, I mean. Like you said, it's a hell of a drug.
You said before, they are who we thought they were, and that brings me to the Cardinals, who were pounded by the Eagles. But first, before we get to that, Adrian Peterson, you like the move for the Cardinals? Do you think he could rejuvenate himself in Arizona?
I do like it. I thought that was going to – I thought it would have been, earlier in the season. I thought it was going to go to the Giants. We talked about it on radio before. I'm serious. Like, why not? Why you don't see trades in football like you do in baseball. It is a little unorthodox, but why not? Like, why don't we let these guys, wheel and deal? I mean, clearly they're in need in New York, but they're in big-time need in Arizona as well. And, he seems extremely excited. Everyone is ready to go. So that's a good thing. I think he's going to play well. I mean, I think that he's going to help set that run game up, a little bit better than Chris Johnson. Not taking away from CJ 2K, but he's more like CJ 800.
He's a third down back and receiving back.
CJ 750 these days,
CJ 600. That's sounds like a new car that'll be coming out. Are the Cardinals good? The Cardinals are weird because they're 2-3. They've had two wins, but just two, awful wins where they barely lost to bad teams. Are they a playoff team?
Yeah, you know what, man? I don't know, because last year they let me down. I picked them, how you picked the Giants this year to win the Super Bowl. Well, last year I picked the Arizona Cardinals in the Super Bowl, and they let me down big time. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what kind of team they're going to be exactly. If they're that squad that can go out there and they can be strong down the backstretch, then good for them. Sorry about all the noise, guys. I'm picking my little one up from school here. There's an influx of kindergartners walking out past them. But, like I said, if they can be strong down the stretch, then they'll be good. But now they have to contend with another team that's going to be strong down the stretch. Of course, that's Seattle. We know once it starts to get a little bit cool that the Seattle Seahawks, they tend to heat up more times than not. And, we'll see if they'll be able to hang tough with them. And then there's the Rams, because the Rams are playing up way above everyone's expectations. I don't think anybody expected them to play like that this year. So,
multitasking interview while picking up a kid. Just an absolute legend. It's Cole Wright on the line for a couple more minutes. The Seahawks did beat the Rams. You talked about it. And I am not buying into the Rams. I know everyone wants to buy in and say this is a playoff team. Do you think they're as good as everyone's hyping them up to be?
The Seahawks?
The Rams.
Oh, the Rams. I'm sorry. I don't know. You know, I think that it's a case of it's almost like Jacksonville. Are the Seahawks this good? Are the Jaguars this good? I mean, I don't know. I think that, you know, with that shot of life that Sean McVay's given this team, these guys are playing. They're playing for Sean McVay. They're like, hey, we got a young head coach. You know, we like what this guy's bringing to the table. You know, it's easier for us to go talk to him, and it makes it a little bit easier to learn. Like, I mean, think about when you were in high school and you had that cool teacher, that mm-hmm. teacher who just got out of college. Like, how much more fun it was to go to that guy's class. I remember I had a teacher named Mr. Palmquist senior year English, man, and he had a ponytail, man. He had a goatee. He listened to hip-hop. He was cool, man. Like, he made English that much more fun to go to. Was he really that cool in the grand scheme of things? Probably not. You know, sorry, Mr. Palmquist, if you're out there listening. But, you know, like, that's doing it, you know, upon further research, like, he was big into like indoor volleyball, and so probably not really that cool, but he made things seem more cool, and I think that's what Sean McVay's doing this year for the Rams. He's got those guys wanting to play, and you know, I think that when everyone buys in, that makes it that much easier, you know, to wrap yourselves around an offensive scheme, a defensive scheme, and just wanting to win in general.
Shout out to Mr. Palmquist, if he's listening.
Yeah.
The legend himself, the indoor volleyball fan club. the Packers beat the Cowboys, and, I mean, the Packers, their whole team could be hurt, but if Aaron Rodgers on that field, they're probably going to win.
Oh, my goodness.
This team is remarkable battling all these injuries, and they are a legit shot here for an NFC championship.
You know, there's times I think that Aaron Rodgers must have the John Wooden Pyramid of Success tattooed on his back. Because this guy, man, I mean, what can he not do? Like, I always try to tell myself, like, I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan. Like, something about him, I just don't dig him. But he's making it really hard for me to be a hater on him, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy, what can he not do? I mean, he goes out there and gets it done every step of the way. Like Jerry Jones said the other night, well, we gave him a minute. A minute's too long for Aaron Rodgers. And it's like, geez, if you can't give a quarterback a minute, I mean, that just speaks to his, you know, how dangerous he is, and, you know, how potent his game plan and his attack is. And that's what we're seeing right now to Aaron Rodgers. And we talked yesterday on the Monday night post game, you know, David Carr, myself, Ike Taylor, and Reggie Wayne. And we talked about the fact that, you know, people are going to sit back and tell their kids, like, hey, I used to watch Aaron Rodgers line up on Sundays. Like, that guy was as good as it gets. Like, yeah, Brett Favre was really good, but Aaron Rodgers, this guy is something special. So, you know, I would like to see Aaron Rodgers, you know, maybe be able to sprinkle at least another Super Bowl in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if people are going to say he's one of the greatest of all time, if not the, at least have more than one. You know, it's hard to bring that conversation to the table when you only have one, especially when there's guys that are so great who have multiple. So, Aaron Rodgers is doggone good, man. That's the only way around it. Like I said, I like to you're not a real hater unless you're well-informed on everything. And it's tough. Even though I'm well informed on Aaron Rodgers, it's tough. It's tough can be to hate on that cat.
Yeah, and you want to talk about Mr. Palmquist and how cool he was. Aaron Rodgers is so cool that he said peace to Olivia Munn. He's like, hey, you're too obsessive over me. I'm gonna chill and do my own thing. I'm gonna go out and win Super Bowls. I'm gonna do discount double check, and I'm gonna do what I want. So Aaron Rodgers is as cool as it gets, and the Packers are rolling right now. The Chiefs are also rolling. Cole, they're 5-0, and Alex Smith, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated players maybe on the face of the earth. No one talks about Alex Smith, and he finds ways to get it done. They put up 42 against that Texans defense. The Chiefs, no one said this was a Super Bowl contender, but they're the best team in the league right now.
Yeah, I don't think they really even care if anyone counted them as Super Bowl contenders entering the year because, like I said, it doesn't really matter, you know, how everyone had you tabbed. Like, look at last year. Everyone thought the Arizona Cardinals were going to win Super Bowl, and none of that came to fruition, so I think Kansas City's just sitting pretty. They're like, hey, don't worry about us. Like, you know, we're just over here. Like, just doing our thing. You know, slow and steady wins the race. You know, when we've seen Alex Smith be slow and steady during the regular season, but he hasn't been able to win that race, you know, once it comes to the postseason. So this could be the year. I mean, you look at all their offensive weapons. They have Tyreek Hill. They have Travis Kelce. They have Kareem Hunt. And then Alex Smith. And then you want to throw any other X factors in there. This is a dangerous, dangerous team, man. And their defense, they're playing some ball, too. So, yeah, Kansas City, they put everyone on notice. Because Oakland right now, not the team that we imagine them to be. But if Derek Carr comes back, he does plan to come back this week. Like David and I were joking last night, like that youth, How about it? Wasted on the young. Mm-hmm. It's like you have a broken bone in your back, and it's less than 2 weeks out, and you're talking about playing in an NFL game.
Isn't that dangerous, though, trying to bring him back now? Because if he has a season-ending injury, the Raiders are finished.
Well, it's true, but, I mean, like David said, we did the post-game show on Thursday night, too, and it was funny because David was on the phone. He was sitting right behind me, and I heard he picked up the phone. He's like, how's it feeling? Yeah, you practice today? Like, wow, that's crazy. Like, you're going to try to play next week? Like, what?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, it's like you could just hear from brother to brother. Like, it's like, yeah, man, I'm going to get after it. You could tell that David is the older of the two because he's in his 30s. Because anytime you have to talk about something with your back, I mean, if you're in your 30s, man, you know. Like, you could be in great shape. You can go to the gym. But every once in a while, that lower back's going to remind you, hey, you're, something's going too good right now. Like, you're looking like you have too much spring in your step. Let me take you down a notch. And that lower back will take you down to a knee every once in a while. So I think it's crazy for Derek to be out there playing. If he's feeling good, then go ahead and get after it because, you know, the Raiders, they need help right now in the division. And, you know, we'll see because that division is a tough one. Kansas City, like I said, they're rolling. You got Denver, that the no-fly zone. You pair that with their run defense. Like, I like to call them ground control. I mean, those guys are filthy. So, you know, once it gets cold, that defense is going to step up. And, you know, the Denver defense a little bit stronger than Kansas City. So we'll see.
Yeah, and the team they'll be fighting for. And it's amazing. You'd be the greatest sports radio host ever, whoever may be. If you have not mixed up David and Derek Carr, then you ain't doing it right. Because it's so easy to mix those two up. And I still mix them up all the time. The last one for you, Cole, is... Are you worried about the Patriots? Their defense can't stop a nosebleed. They did stop the Bucs last week. Are you worried that this team isn't as good as we all thought they were?
Well, they're not. But the one thing that is that offsets having the worst defense in the league is having the best offense in the league, and that's pretty much where the Patriots are at. Like, you look at them stat-wise, and you know they're pretty solid. Anytime you have that 5-time Super Bowl champion and that head coach that has a whole bunch of rings on the sideline. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't count them out ever. So I've been saying that since, you know, I worked in Boston. You can't count the Patriots out until they haven't made the postseason 2 seasons in a row with Brady and Belichick. I mean, you'd be crazy to count them out. Like, we've heard this talk before. Like, oh, the Patriots don't have it. Then they started off with a few bumps in the road earlier on. Like, oh, maybe we should have Garoppolo take over for Brady now. And it's like, what? Come on.
And they'll end up 14-2.
Like, ye of so little faith out there in New England. Like, having worked there and seeing how passionate the fans are, sometimes they're passionate to a fault and they go overboard with some of their statements. So I think the Patriots will be just fine, man. They're going to find that next man up, that Patriot way. These guys are going to keep doing their job, continue to do it well. And then at the end of the season, man, I think that it's going to be the Patriots on top of the division.
I would agree. The thoughts quickly on not Mitch, but Mitchell Trubisky.
I liked him, man. He looked good. I mean, I can't ask for a whole bunch more from him. I mean, what more do you want? I mean, he went out there. He had a competitive game. It was a tie ball game until the last few seconds. So, I mean, he goes out there. That's what you want. You want the Bears to be competitive, and that's what he kept them. I mean, did it take him a while to get that pass? Pat O'Connell get that first touchdown pass? Yeah, he did, but it's all right, and I think that they'll be fine moving forward.
Cole Wright, NFL on Twitter. Cole, first, last thing, are you a once a week to the barber guy? As a fellow bald man myself, I want to know your strategy for keeping it smooth up there.
Oh no, that's all self-contained, man. You got to do that at the house. That's what I do. You know,
I use the
Hydro Schick Hydro 5 razor.
Okay.
Get a little bit of coconut oil and some Cremo. That's the Cremo is a shaving cream. It's unbelievable, man. We're giving away free advertisements all over the place here, but
check.
Good stuff. It's good stuff, man.
All right, that's the key. The coconut oil is what I need because I've been going to the barber once a week. But
no! Put coconut oil. Put it on your head before you take a shower. After the coconut oil is on, and then put the shaving cream on, and make sure you have that razor soaking in some hot water.
Hmm.
Then it's gonna get that lube strip. I don't know where this conversation is going, man, but that's just what it is. It's just a conversation between two bald-headed guys.
It's essential, man, because it grows back for me. Like, in a day or two, it's back, and I wait till, like, the next week to go to the barber, and I'm spending $100 a month.
I'm going to tweet you a picture of the bald man starter pack, what you need.
Okay. Perfect.
Good.
All right.
Gotcha.
Cole Wright, he talks bald heads. He talks football on NFL Network and Sirius XM. Appreciate you coming on the show, man. Talk to you soon.
Anytime, Jake. Appreciate it, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.